News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice 1 toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or Star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hi there. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
It is Saturday. It is the 8th of March, Anno Domini 2003.
And you know what? We're on at our normal time.
Is that a shock? Our normal time. For those of you who are hoping for a Syracuse game, I'm sorry. You're going to have to listen to sound bites instead. I know that's a
it's been messing
thing,
up. I've talked to a lot of our listeners.
I'm installing another piece of software now.
I've talked to a lot of our listeners, though, and it totally upsets their whole Saturday because they literally
their Saturdays.
Well, that's the side I hear from. You know, you got to listen to them,
right?
But they're sitting there saying, "Yes, I plan my whole day around because if I go driving here, I got to take the wife and let her do some shopping, and I can sit in the car." And you weren't on. I had to listen to SU basketball. What's up?
Well, they didn't have to listen to SU basketball. It wasn't like somebody sitting in the back seat with a gun to their head.
Wanted to just because they heard. No, they heard that we were coming on after it. So
oh, yes.
Want to miss
it. So,
that's the thing to remember is we could easily be canceled for the game, and they pick up the regular schedule after the game. So it's great faith in Jeff Howlett, our amazing program director.
That's exactly right.
He's putting us on and canceling somebody else.
Yeah. Exactly right. So on the one hand, we're delayed, but on the other hand, we could be skipped. But instead, we're
still here.
Delayed. And we want to thank Jeff Howlett. Each and every one of you should individually send him a nice note. And there have been times when each and every one of you have individually sent him a not particularly nice note, and now it's time
even
to send
had bumper
nice
stickers
note.
Out against him, the first one I ever.
But now it's time for the nice note, because he doesn't cancel us, he just postpones us.
Yep.
But now we will no longer postpone the news. King of the segways!
Sure?
Okay, and we'll start with...
They're on sale, $49.95 at Amazon.
Stop it. I wonder if Bonzilla got his yet.
Ooh.
We'll have to get a report. But we'll start with... Dave, have you recovered from whatever that attack was?
Yeah, really. I thought I was going to hack up a lung there for a minute.
Very charming. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, really.
Not sharing that.
Toshiba now has come up with a prototype of a direct methanol fuel cell. So... if, you know, you got this battery in your laptop and, you know...
Right, we should make it plain that this is a methanol fuel cell
for laptops. Yes. PCs don't need it. You know what I mean? You plug it
for cars.
If you were listening to Paul Harvey earlier.
He was talking about...
They're working on it,
Secretary of Energy
too.
Complaining about it's taken, you know, 20 years to make a fuel cell for the car. Mm-hmm. But when the government mandated removing lead from gasoline, that only took them 20 months.
Yes.
Slightly different there, but...
I have a question about lead. Lead is an additive.
Right, so shouldn't it take
it
very much?
It costs more to leave it out than it does to put it in. That confuses me.
Well, it's like decaffeinated coffee.
Yeah, takes
more. Caffeine comes in coffee. And you have to actually... Now you're in my territory because I know about coffee.
But isn't there a lead byproduct already in gasoline?
Well, it's probably through the distillation
process.
To
get it out.
Lead is an additive. It's not actually... They call it an additive. Therefore, it's not a natural part of the process.
Can you still buy leaded gasoline anywhere? I've got a 64 Mustang that... You know. what about all those old cars that need leaded gasoline?
No, they'll run on unleaded.
Yeah.
Not as well, but they'll run.
Yeah, they'll knock, but...
So where were we?
Meanwhile, back at the computer world...
Something about methanol and
laptops. Yeah, really. This new fuel cell will have an average output of 12 watts and a maximum output of 20 watts. That gives about 5 hours of operation. I mean, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
If you're on a long trip or sitting in the airport nowadays, which used to only take a few minutes to get through the airport, now can be, you know, half the journey.
We went to Arizona, and we got there 2 hours early and just made our flight.
I believe it. Now, you know, the way, like I say, you wind up spending more time in the airport waiting and getting through security and that, than sometimes taking a flight, say, out to California.
Right.
And that's a 6-hour flight. Hello.
Yeah, I know.
But you got to plan half your trip just for that. So, yeah, they're looking into this and great hopes, especially, you know, Toshiba's got the backing there to further do this research, and hopefully it'll be something coming on the horizon in the not-too-distant future, folks, so you can take your laptop out and not have to worry about, well, this thing's only going to last me an hour or so because the battery
will die. The problem is how you're going to recharge it, because you have to recharge the methanol in
the
fuel
station.
Cell. Yeah. Well, maybe not at a gas
station. The methanol
depends
station.
On whether or not you live on a farm, you can get your own free methanol. Yeah.
Fill up my car with regular gas and
fill up my laptop
with methanol. You probably have it.
Sure.
Yeah.
You'll get multiple. You'll get multiple batteries, and then you'll bring the batteries with you somewhere.
Well, your car's filling up. They'll probably have a docking station that you can hook the battery, plug that
there
into. Put it all on your charge.
You'll have them at your store. You guys will both have them at your store.
Yeah. Wind up, you know, driving away and pulling the battery out and pulling the charge.
Apple's been doing pretty good with their lithium-ion prismatic battery that can give 4.5 hours on their big 17-inch super power hungry.
That's good. Yeah.
So, and you remember the old zinc air batteries a few years
ago?
Mm-hmm. That was the 12-hour battery life, and it just added an inch to the height of your computer.
Right.
When the laptops used to be 2 or 3 inches
anyway. Yeah. Right. At that point, an inch didn't matter much.
Oh, really? So that looking good on that front.
Excellent. Excellent. So pretty soon we'll all have our little methanol laptops. What's that smell? Have you been drinking? No, honey, it's just a laptop. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, the LA Times is reporting that Apple's preparing to release a digital music service for the Macintosh and its iPod users, working with the record companies for legal online music distribution. There are several subscription services already available, including Press Play and MusicNet, but they don't have support for the Macintosh computers. Mostly, they're saying it's an issue with the content encryption that Windows Media Player and some of the Windows audio formats can disable a song after so many plays, can prevent the song from running unless it can register serial numbers. So there's privacy issues, there's piracy issues. So Apple is trying to, rumored at least, according to LA Times, going to be coming out with a new service for the iPod to let you download your music into the iPod and into your computer. Most of the rumors around the net are circulating around $1 a song as being an acceptable price. You look at a 10 or 12 song CD for $20, you're paying about that much now anyway, and only like one song, and that's the whole point of it. Apple has also demonstrated some sharing technology in the iTunes music software, along with their Rendezvous Zero Config network system, where one user can see the songs on another user's computer and play them. Can't download them to their own computer, but they can play them through another computer. And the current iPod already has support for the Audible.com book service, so you can download books into your iPod and listen to books online. So it's interesting to see how the fight between what the users want, what the record industry wants, and what the law allows is still up in the air.
Yes, it is. And we're going to leave you up in the air as to our third news story, because we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, the return of Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the world's greatest computer show, Soundbite, on 1180 WHAM.
Unity Health Foundation presents An Evening to Remember on Saturday, April 5th. The evening begins in special host homes, a convivial setting designed to join friends old and new. All guests will then gather at the Riverside Convention Center to enjoy a gourmet dinner, delectable desserts, and dancing to the Johnny Mac Big Band. Many other surprises await, including a silent auction for unique works of art. Tickets available from the Unity Health Foundation. Call 723-7050. Proceeds to benefit Unity Health System.
For all your computer needs, call Green Shield Computer Services toll-free at 1-800-544-9580. Located in Rochester at 1370 Hudson Avenue, just south of Route 104, Green Shield is a full-service computer firm that's been helping individuals and businesses since 1984. They'll build, install, maintain, and network both your home and work computers. Green Shield is open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 till 4. So, yeah, call them right now. That's right now at 1-800-544-9580. Green Shield can also provide your website development, hosting, email, and domain name registration. And Green Shield is an approved Corral Business Education government and legal partner. Call them right now, toll free at 1-800-544-9580. That's 1-800-544-9580. Or you can send them an email to computers@greenshield.net. Remember the name, Green Shield Computer Services, part of the Green Shield Group, established in 1967.
There's a ritual to eating lobster at Lobster Fest. Get some friends and family, then come as you are to Red Lobster. And start grabbing, dipping, dunking, chatting, cracking, crunching, conversing, oohing and aahing. Lobster Fest raises sharing to an art form, because you're eating the most desired food on the planet, lobster. Come in and enjoy one of our amazing new lobster dishes, like delicious lobster pizza, mouth-watering lobster asparagus pasta, and more. Lobster Fest, now at Red Lobster.
Your feet are dry, scaly, maybe callous too. You've tried everything without results, but you haven't tried Carousel. Carousel with a K, a podiatrist's choice for years, now available in your pharmacy foot care section. Carousel is dual-acting, an exfoliating moisturizer that gently removes dead skin while it moisturizes new cell layers underneath. Your feet will feel healthier, softer in just days. No wonder 9 out of 10 people choose Carousel over the product they usually use. Try Carousel. It's everything your feet need.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show, is brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180, WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Yes, it's true. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And to segue from what Steve was talking about before the commercial, Microsoft seems to have turned on the code that enables information rights management in the Office 2003 Beta 2, which is expected to begin shipping to beta testers next week. The folks at Neowin, neowin.com, have talked about what happens to users who don't have Microsoft Rights Management software when they try to read Outlook and messages and documents that were covered by the restrictive permission. It means you won't be able to download or play music you don't own. In addition, the RIAA, the Recording Industry Association of America, and the MPAA, the Motion Picture Association of America, have announced that they will, since they cannot, in fact, manage to actually control the copying of music and movies, are now going to start monitoring all the peer-to-peer sharing networks and start suing the companies.
MPAA has already started suing eBay, for one, because of people selling movies on eBay.
Right.
Which, you know, I buy a videotape, I should be able to sell the videotape. How are they supposed
to
know
it's a pirate? You don't own it, you just rent it. It's like Windows. You don't own what you purchase. You only borrowing.
And
you
that's
own
a tough concept for people to understand.
For your own personal use.
No, you don't own it. You can't do that. They don't like the fact that you can get a...
Well, they can't come... If I don't own it, they can't come back and repossess it. If I own it, I technically own it. It's just that I got to use it for my own...
You own...
Personal.
You own.
I can't sit there and say, oh, here's a copy of it, and that, because that's against the law.
Right. You own the physical tape it comes on. You don't own the content to the movie.
Right.
So that you can't do anything. The FBI warning that everyone always skips over, you can't use it for commercial showing. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's even a legal gray other area where when you invite a bunch of friends over to watch a movie, that's technically illegal because it's a public showing.
Right.
Everyone ignores it anyway, but so we're back to the issue between the consumer rights and the legal protection of copyright.
Right. I had a friend come over to my house once. This is years ago. They were showing Indiana Jones, the original Indiana Jones movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, on TV. On HBO, and he had missed the first 5 minutes of it. He knew I had the tape, So he came over to my house and said, can I watch it here? I said, you have HBO? He said, no, I missed it, so I want to start the tape instead.
Well, wait an hour, it'll be on again.
I said, let me loan you the tape. He said, I don't have a tape player, I just want to watch it. Okay, fine. So he sat in my living room and watched it. I guess that's okay. So at any rate, the thing is, Nick's movie theater. I don't know if that was illegal or not, since none of the rest of us were watching it with him.
There was that buddy of yours that's got the THX theater in his basement.
He has a THX
because he sells THX systems. Obviously, he's got to have a demo.
He's got to have a demo. He built him one in his basement. Nice work if you can get it.
Really?
So I suggest you start being very careful about what you download and where you download it and who you download it from, because they're coming to get you. We're going to go to the phones now.
Well, actually, before we jump in there, here's a new thing that CNN is reporting. Scientists at Stanford Linear Accelerator were able to transfer nearly 7 gigabytes of data in less than a minute. So they're running almost 1 gigabyte per second.
Whoa.
Which is good news for people who are downloading music and videos.
You can have a whole, instead of one song, you can have a whole album in 1 minute.
So speeds are getting faster, which is one of the reasons why this music theft is such an issue.
Yeah.
The MP3 compression making a 10 meg song into a 1 meg song, and 1 meg being not net that much time to download.
Yeah.
Right.
Somebody correct me while I'm...
Yeah, right. New mouth?
He's a professional, ladies and gentlemen. Do not try this at home.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it's true. And it's a whole new world, and the Motion Picture Association of America and the Recording Art Industry Association of America is having a tough time dealing with it. They don't like the fact that they're not really getting, you know, the money they would like to get from this stuff.
We should probably explain for new listeners what we're talking about here. Basically, if you're new into computing and that, there's various sites out there that people are illegally putting songs that you can grab other software's packages out there and literally download songs, whether it's from the 50s, 60s, heck, old waltz tunes and everything else. Anything and everything is out there on the web. You can do a search with certain software packages.
Or even if a friend gives you a custom burned CD, here's a song.
Yeah, and literally, you can go out, grab these song titles, and burn them to a CD for your own hearing pleasure. But it, again, is all against the law because these folks that actually took the time to sing these songs and they aren't getting paid their due royalty.
Right.
So that's just kind of a little FYI.
A little FYI.
Yeah.
And now we're going to go to the – I'm not going to mention any more TLAs. We're going to go right to the phones. Our first caller patiently waiting on the line, Maria from Rochester. Welcome, Maria. What's your question?
I have a Netscape browser, and I use it to get my mail from Roadrunner cable information. And one thing or another happened, and that particular part of the browser is gone, so I downloaded a new one. Where is the inbox of the mail stored? Is it stored on Netscape server, or is it actually stored on the hard drive?
It depends on how you've set it up. If you're getting your mail from Roadrunner, it wouldn't be set up on Netscape server anyway. It would be stored on Roadrunner server. But there are two ways you can get your mail. One method leaves it up on their server. The other method downloads it to your machine.
The default is to download it.
The default is to download it, so the mail would be stored on your machine, on your C drive. What version of Windows are you running?
I'm running, Millennium.
Okay. And then in that case, I've turned his mic around.
It's the Netscape profile directory, wherever it hides it.
Right.
You got to go is under, it's under Common Files, or even under Netscape. What version of Netscape were you running?
6.02.
Okay. Under Netscape, you'll see a folder called Users. Under Users, you will then see it usually by your last name, if that's how you put it in there. And these are all folders within a folder. So you go down to Programs, go down to Netscape. Under Netscape, you will see Users. Under Users, you will then see your mailbox. Mail, and then in there will be all your folders for your incoming, your outgoing mail. If you created any other folders to save items in that, it'll all be in there.
Okay, now here's the scary part. I have security measures on the computer, and I log in with a name and security password. Well, that particular profile got deleted out of Windows.
Mm-hmm.
Would that Netscape information still be in there?
Yeah, it's still in there.
Okay.
You may not be able to get to it now because it's owned by a different person.
But
although ME's security isn't that tight.
Right. Well, see, that's what I thought. It's like I didn't really get rid of the Netscape folder. I went through most of that, and even under username, I can't find my name.
Well, did you download a new version of Netscape?
Not on that particular computer.
Because a newer version of Netscape would have found your old mail automatically.
Right. But, it's still in there as long as, you know, like you say, granted, your desktop might not look the same because, you know, the different user.
Right.
But it still is in there. And like I say, what you're looking for is off of Netscape, a folder called Users. And under Users will be all your bookmarks. And then there's other folders like your mail and that type of stuff.
Sometimes it's also in the C directory under Application Data under the Mozilla directory. They added Mozilla with 7, right? Or was that 6?
7.
All right. 7. So if you were using 6, it wouldn't be there then.
Okay. So you should be okay.
Okay, thank you.
All righty.
Thank you. Our next caller, Jim from Rochester. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
I can't, like if I go to Soundbites website, I can't click on the links. Nothing happens. The screen freezes up. I still don't understand what's going on with it. I have a gateway. I've talked to 3 or 4 different technicians, and they haven't been able to fix it. I've downloaded IE updates. Done all kinds of stuff, and it still doesn't work.
Because
I don't have space in the computer anymore.
How much space do you have left on?
Well, the C drive says it's got space, maybe 600-700 megabytes. I've got another hard drive.
600 megs is very little space.
Yeah.
That shouldn't stop you from clicking on a link.
Right. Have you? You're using Internet Explorer?
Yeah.
If you go to the Tools, Internet Options, and clean out the cache and the cookies?
Yeah.
You've done that?
Well, I've got internet cleanup, and I'll go in and do that every so often.
Yeah, but this is actually in, I know the internet cleanup, but you can literally go in and within IE and just force them all out.
Uh-huh.
You know, and clean out the cache just in case there's some bad.
And sometimes you even need to do it in on the desktop. Go to the temporary internet files folder directly on your C drive, and delete things in there manually.
Yeah.
Sometimes the automatic deletion doesn't work. Yeah. Does this happen on every web page or just a few?
Most of them, but a few will load. And you know, I thought, is it a corrupt file or something that could cause that?
No, how's security?
It's inherently built into the browser to let you click a link.
Did you say you did not clean out the cache?
What he was talking about, I haven't done. I've gone.
You should, because there are JavaScripts that will prevent you from clicking on a link.
That's what I was wondering, whether it's JavaScript.
If you clean out the cache, those will go, and then you have to shut down and restart the browser.
Right.
Try that.
All right, I'll try that.
You know, we had this question several times already this week, and I could have sworn I said to do that to somebody. It must not have been you, obviously, but that's our suggestion.
I wonder if that means there's a new Java virus bouncing around. See, a lot of times that's how we discover new viruses, is people keep calling up with the same question.
Yeah, and
I had gone in, I'm not that savvy, but I had gotten to some point, and it showed that my Java 1.31,
mm-hmm.
some file, it said that was corrupted.
Jim, have you also tried running AdAware?
Yeah, I do that.
And did it find anything there?
Just the usual stuff that says eliminate, like, cookies and whatnot.
Yeah. And you also ran your antivirus software.
Multitudinous time.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you had a Java file corrupted, that could be preventing a Java program from running.
Mm-hmm.
That can affect some kinds of links. That's actually a JavaScript.
That's why I'm saying there is a Java. There's got to be a JavaScript that's actually preventing you from clicking on links.
Yeah. So try manually deleting.
Right. Go in and delete all of that stuff and reboot and restart your browser and see what happens.
All right.
Let us know.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks. Our next caller, John from Rochester. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm just glad I'm calling you with a computer question, not a gasoline question.
Sure, exactly, because we don't know anything about gasoline.
Apparently not. But here's the situation. My wife's computer...
We hear that all the time.
Get your wife
on. A
friend
of a friend.
This is really hers.
All right, well, then put her on.
No, she's not home. But
oh, sure, the old she's not home routine.
Right.
Well, I'll tell
go
you
ahead.
She's set up. I got her computer set up. We have Roadrunner, and she's the server for, you know, my computer and the kids' computer. We have three. About a week or so ago, or a couple weeks ago, her computer died, and I mean really died. Hardware. I think it was some kind of overheating thing. It just, you couldn't get it to do anything more.
Right.
It got progressively worse and worse. So I assume that's what it was. We couldn't even get it to boot up in DOS mode from a floppy and stay running more than about a minute, and then it would start locking up.
Okay.
So what I did is I bought her a computer mail order, a refurbished Dell off of a website, and this thing came in with, it was a cheapo thing, and it came in with no operating system on it. So I started this thing basically from a blank hard drive. I took my Windows 98 SE disk that I had from her old computer, put that in, loaded it from scratch. Second thing I did is I had Norton Systems Works. I loaded that in, loaded all the antivirus, or updated their latest virus definitions and everything, enabled the auto protect mode and everything, and everything seemed to be working beautifully. And the thing just has been running about a week. And just yesterday, the computer started locking up on her. I mean, the thing would freeze. She couldn't click on any application. The mouse would move, but nothing would happen. So today I started looking at it for her, and then now it won't even boot up at all. I diagnostically put it into the safe mode on startup, and I ran the antivirus software, and it said no virus is found. But if you try to run it in Windows, in the diagnostic mode where it asks you, you know, do you want to load this driver, that driver, blah, 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 it'll do all of those. And then as soon as it gets to the one where it says it's loading the MS mouse file, it just stops. It doesn't go any farther.
Have you tried running SFC?
Have I tried running what?
SFC, System File Checker. If you go to the start, go to run, and type SFC.
Okay.
98 second edition, or 98 period, has a system file checker. And what it'll do is it'll check your whole system for any corrupt or questionable Windows files. And it will sit there and replace them for you.
Okay.
I mean, that might be a good starting point. The other thing is, when you did this install, did you also go up and get the latest drivers for Windows? In other words, you go to the Windows website, you go into Internet,
done that yet.
And you also get the updated drivers, say, for the video and the mouse and network.
I did do the one for the card that Dell had for the video card.
You might want to also look for any of them for the motherboard and that type of stuff.
You also might want to download Stinger. There's a link on our website that checks for viruses that can get past standard antivirus programs and, in fact, turn them off. So you may be getting a false negative message in your antivirus program.
Okay. I just ran the SFC, and it said that the setup x.dll may be corrupted. Would that be a...
He might have a virus.
Here's another thing is when I got her computer, I took the old hard drive out of hers because she had a lot of email and or Word docs, and I plugged it into the second IDE port so I could have that as a second drive and pull all that junk off. But I installed the Windows and everything.
Did you set that to be a slave or change the?
It was a slave. Yeah.
Okay.
And it was fine. I could access that drive, and I didn't touch any of the junk that was on it. Is it possible that a virus on that drive could have?
Absolutely.
Guaranteed.
I mean, even if I didn't.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. Just by connecting it to the bus.
But the minute you connect it and it's hooked up and it's spinning and booting.
Before I connected it, I had installed. You know, before I even put it in the system, I installed Norton Antivirus. And
then did you do the updates for it?
I did. The very first thing I did was the update.
All right, then I'd run a scan not only on the C drive, but run it on the D drive. The other thing, because we got to take a break here, if this doesn't work for you, what I would recommend is reboot and reinstall Windows over the top of Windows. It won't destroy anything for you, but it might also correct the issue, okay?
It won't destroy, like, the Roadrunner stuff?
Nope, none of that
stuff. Change any of that stuff. We got to take a break back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
0% financing forever. Rebates big enough for a down payment on a house. New car manufacturers have been offering deal after deal, and new car sales are off the charts. Things couldn't get any better, right? Wrong. Record-level new car sales mean record-level trade-ins. Used car inventories at an all-time high and used car prices at an all-time low. It's a buyer's market, and Dorsal is the place to buy. Dorsal has a huge selection of top quality, low mileage, used cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, all makes, all models, lease returns, program cars, and Rochester's largest selection of Toyota and GM certified vehicles. More than $3 million of inventory is priced thousands below replacement cost. All backed by Dorsal's 3-day, 300-mile, no-risk satisfaction guarantee. That's right. Buy it today. Drive it today. Make sure it's what you really want. If not, Dorsal will buy it back. No questions asked. So if new is not for you, it's Dorsal Used Cars next to Southtown Plaza across from Marketplace Mall. Stop out today and save. It's guaranteed.
Forget the March winds. Think March madness. For now, you can make it March gladness by sending those great Zweigels Hots to someone on campus. Red ones, white ones, Zweigels Hots will keep the party going with pleasant thoughts of home. Zweigels, famous for meat products since 1880, will deliver anywhere in the continental USA within 3 days, guaranteed. Now, to order your Zweigels March Madness gift pack, click on WHAM1180.com or call Calabresella's New York-style deli at 235-7860.
The only way to achieve peace is to first have freedom.
Aurora on the edge.
Please don't urge people to send their kids off to die.
Needs understanding.
You know, with all this talk about anti-war, pro-war, whatever.
Understanding begins with talking.
Why die for oil?
I support what we're doing.
We should go in and visibly destroy them.
I don't want war.
The time to act is now. Now.
Talk
now.
About it here. News Radio 1180.
Talking.
WHAM. $50,000 watts. Huh. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
Hi there, I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And you can tell how ready we were for this. We're back. This is Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. And we are here taking your calls and having plenty of fun. Our next call is Doug from Geneva. Welcome, Doug. What's your question?
Well, about a week or so ago, I had reformatted my hard drive and reinstalled everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I had bought Windows ME a long time
ago. Ow!
Well, I know.
You really wanted to put yourself through hell, didn't you?
Anyway.
That's right. Just ignore him. Just keep talking.
Yeah, I know. So what I did was I never installed the ME, and then somebody said, oh, it's not as bad as it used to be. You go in, you install
it. It was never as good as it should have been.
Well, so anyway, I installed it, did all the updates and all that junk. Now what happens is when I go to shut my computer down, for one thing, not only do I get the blue screen of death all the time, now when I go to shut my computer down, it'll go to a blank screen. And it never shuts off.
See, I get all choked up about that operating system.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you cry already.
Oh.
I'm crying now.
As you should.
I am. I could kick myself.
Well, you just had a lot of free time. Didn't want to do, you know, much with that day anyways. Now you get to, go out and get it. What type of machine is this anyway?
This isn't actually, it's actually a fairly common problem in all the Windows OSs.
Seriously, what speed is the machine?
It's a 433.
433, how much memory?
192.
192 meg.
That's the very low end.
Yeah, that's a very low end. I'd say if you want a decent operating system, go back to 98 second edition.
Or get more memory and go to XP.
But even that, 430 is still the low end for an XP box.
Well, I had ordered a new computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to the news the other day, and HP is complaining because things are slow and their profits are down and all this. I have ordered a computer from Hewlett Packard January 28th and have still yet to get it from them.
Isn't that special?
Was it one of the latest whiz-bang Pentium 3.5 super machines that probably isn't ready yet, and that's why you don't have it?
No.
Hmm.
No, actually, it's an AMD processor, and I mean, it's nothing great. I just wanted another one for home.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows?
Well, we're hearing that from a lot of the different vendors. Apple's having trouble with the part supplies on its new PowerBooks, HP. Even we're hearing rumors about Dell and Gateway having trouble.
Well, companies are cutting back left and right crazy. Unemployment is at an all-time high.
There must be some common parts problem somewhere that they can't get a certain part and
shortage of sand to make chips.
The only thing I got kind of different on this was I got a fairly large hard drive. I got a 120 gigabyte hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, everything else, I got a CDRW and 512. RAM. I mean, there's nothing extraordinary about it.
Yeah. And what do they, when you call them, what do they say?
I don't know. Can I find out? Can I call you back?
Yeah, you can call me back if you actually do, or otherwise I'm going to be calling you back.
Did you pay for this by credit card?
I certainly did.
Cancel it. Cancel it.
Yeah.
It's another mistake.
Yeah, call and cancel it.
Cancel.
Seriously.
And buy locally. This is why you buy locally. You got a face to look at and stuff to do. Got to take a break. Back in just a few minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, on your local computer show, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
Today, finding a job can be challenging. And the first step in getting to work is getting to an interview. Hi, I'm Bill Nojay. As volunteer chairman at RTS, we want to make sure that during these difficult economic times, we're doing all we can to make your life easier. That's why we've started Jobs First. For our economy to improve, we've all got to get to work. And the first step in getting to work is getting to an interview. That's where we can help. If you're interviewing for a new job, give us a call. We'll send you a bus pass so you can get to the interview and back home again, free. It's that simple. Jobs First at RTS. Call us at 288-1700 so we can help you help your family. 288-1700. When it comes to getting our economy moving, you have a partner. RTS and Jobs First. Because finding a job is hard enough. Getting there shouldn't be.
There's nothing like Seneca Niagara Casino. The excitement, the lights,
the winning,
the action, the wonder,
the winning,
the special treatment, the beauty,
winning,
and yes, the winning.
The winning! Yes!
Seneca Niagara Casino, where the winning is just the beginning. Over 2,600 real spinning slots, old favorites, and the most advanced new games anywhere. Almost 100 tables for roulette, craps, blackjack, and more.
More winning!
More like great dining, live entertainment,
and
winning. Seneca Niagara Casino, just minutes from the Falls in Niagara Falls, USA. With progressive jackpots that grow and grow.
Sounds like winning to me.
Join the Seneca Players Club for rewards every time you play.
That's winning too.
Exciting new slots to play.
You mean to win.
Take exit 21 off the 190 and join the fun at Seneca Niagara Casino, where the winning is just the beginning.
You did mention the winning.
I think so, yeah.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
Rochester's official winter weather station. News Radio 1180, WHAM, Rochester. A clear channel radio station.
Still defiant, Saddam Hussein.
Iraqi operatives continue.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hi there, I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Before we get back to the phones, we want to talk a little bit about what's going on at the Soundbites website. We do have a website, you know. It's soundbites.org. Soundbites with a Y, Francis wants me to remind you, .org.
You know what? We got to meet Francis sometime.
I know. She was nice
Maybe
enough.
She'll come to this our road show.
We're going to have a roadshow. We'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes. But first, we're going to talk about the poll. Every week we have a poll. Last week's poll was about USB devices. Steve was just talking about USB devices, wanting cheap USB mice.
And we just did a USB mouse, or a camera system.
Don't even talk about it. You have so screwed up my computer.
What?
That it
I didn't
never
do
run
anything.
Again. Yeah, exactly.
You said
you handed me the box. Okay.
And you decided to put it in while we were doing this show.
Yeah, well, that was the whole point, wasn't it, originally there? We'll
it sounded good in theory.
Let's see if this actually works.
What we're trying to do, folks, is we're experimenting with a USB camera.
No, that's not going to work.
And
no, not going to work at all.
That totally, just installing the software for the camera
has completely
totally trashed Nick's laptop.
It is gone. This is why, you know what? Don't ever install software. Just don't do it. There is no point. And
especially when you need to use the computer for something else.
Yeah, in the middle of the show.
Software, exactly.
But you were
right.
Talking about the poll.
Yeah, I was talking about the poll. We do a poll every week, and this last week's poll was about USB devices.
And next week's poll will be about whether to install software.
Why in God's name you would ever actually use a USB device. But last week's poll was about that, and the question was, do you have USB devices on your computer? Three choices, yes, no, and huh. We had 368 votes. I want to thank everybody. That's a great number of votes. And the most number, 88% of you said, yes, you do. A mere 8% of you said no, and 4% of you said, huh? This week's poll is a little different, of course. This week's poll talks about where you bought your last computer. And the choices are, I build my own, a national chain, a local builder, a small internet site, or other. Please leave an opinion. We have 73 votes so far. And the biggest answer from the Soundbites audience is, I build my own, followed by a national chain, followed by a local builder. Of course, we here advocate buying your system from a local builder, not only because two of them are my panel mates on Soundbite, but because it does make the most sense in terms of getting any sort of support.
Well, like we say, yeah, you got a face to talk to.
I'll be talking to a face about this camera thing. We've got
not my face.
And we're trying to provide a new service for our listeners, and it didn't
exactly
work.
It's not going to work. We were going to put up a little webcam thing here. We may still do that, but it certainly won't be with this software. We have with this hardware. This is a piece of junk. I would suggest not buying any more of these.
I didn't buy it. It was given to me.
Well, that should have been
a
clue.
Never take a gift from your panel mate. That's really the thing that you learn from this.
The distributor, as a Christmas bonus, you know, they always throw in some tchotchke, you know, for ordering from them and all that.
Tchotchke is not the word I would have used for this.
I've known.
I would have used a shorter word, one of those Anglo-Saxon words.
Now, this is a family show.
That's why I'm not actually saying
the word. But anyways, I know a number of other folks that have gotten them to work.
Yes, on anything but XP.
Well,
yeah.
It doesn't got XP drivers in it.
No, it doesn't.
Yes,
actually,
it
came up and said, do you want to install this?
The box?
This is not, this says, it said when I went to install it, it said, this does not have XP. These are not certified to run with XP. Do you want to load them anyway? I thought I clicked no, but apparently I did not, so.
Oh, I see. So you clicked wrong, and it's my fault.
Of course.
No, I
haven't you learned that by now, by being, no matter what we do, it's our fault.
That's right. That's how it works. So anyway, we've got about 10 opinions right now, and we'll be watching that as we go. Dave's leaving now. He's gone. He's going home. So we're going to go back to the phones now. Our next caller is Frank from Rochester. Welcome, Frank. What's your question?
Thanks for taking my call.
Wait, Frank, we're talking to Frank here.
What does the box say?
It says works with Windows XP. The driver says no.
Rest my case.
Well, see, that's different. The camera works fine. The software won't.
Yeah.
Am I still there?
Yeah,
yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Right,
Frank.
I had to prove a point, Frank. Thank you.
It's okay.
Prove a point.
I built my own computer. Why, I don't know, but I have XP on it.
Yep.
And every so often, even sometimes in startup, I'll get the blue screen memory dump thing.
Yep.
What is going on, and what do I do to correct this?
Build yourself another computer.
Yeah, I know.
What type of memory is in it?
What type?
Yeah, it's PC 133.
Yeah, it's 133.
And what type of system did you build? Is it Pentium 2, 3, what?
The AMD. Geez, I don't know.
Well, is it considered a Pentium 3 class?
K6,
K7.
K7. 1600 AMD, I don't know.
Oh, 1600. Okay, that's Pentium 3.
Basically, what the blue screen means is something went wrong.
Yeah, and the memory dump is usually...
And the fun part is finding out what.
Now, yeah. Well, the other thing, though, Frank, is how many memory sticks are in it?
There's two 256.
All right, what I would recommend to kind of narrow it down, because it is a memory dump, well, what I would do is try taking one of the sticks out and just try booting with one of them.
Okay.
Unfortunately, a memory dump doesn't necessarily mean a memory problem. Windows and the NT-based Windows will dump the contents of your memory on any error so that you, as this deep hard-coded programmer, can look at the contents of memory, figure out what went wrong by looking at what pointers or at what address.
But he's saying that it was after he initially installed it. My experience is when we've tried to even do it with Windows 90 or 2000, if the memory is bad, it'll let you install it, and then you go to reboot, and all of a sudden you get these memory dumps. So that's why I say a good point to start is to try pulling one and stick some memory out, see if you get it. If not, or if it does, then try swapping it.
Yeah, those memory dumps create a giant file on your hard drive of the memory. You can turn the dump function off inside the system preferences.
And if I do that, will it just... You still get
the error message,
okay,
you get what the error message tells you, but it doesn't dump the contents of memory, which doesn't help anyone except deep hardcore programmers.
Yeah. There's also a program called MemTest86. You can find that on our website, soundbites.org. Go down, scroll all the way down to the bottom of the screen on the lower right. You'll see a link that says, "I heard a website on your show."
Okay.
Go to that, and you'll see two lists. The one on the right is an alphabetical list. You're looking for MemTest86. Mm-hmm. You download it, create a boot disk, and let it run for about 24 hours, and that'll tell you how good your memory is.
Okay. I got another quick one. This is an AOL coming up on boot up.
Mm-hmm.
And I unchecked the box that says start AIM when Windows starts, but it's still... comes up.
Because you've got to go into msconfig.
Well, because AIM is a different program than AOL.
Right, but if you go into msconfig, the startup tab,
okay,
click there and you will see the AOL references and the other things that get loaded in your taskbar, and you can turn them off there.
Well, you can also, that's sort of kludgy hammer method to actually stop the program from running. But inside the taskbar icon for both AOL and AIM, two separate programs, you have to tell each of them.
Instant Messenger.
Right. Tell each of them to not run at startup.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Right.
Our next caller, that was Frank from Rochester, right?
Our next caller
will be Tom from Greece. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Yeah, how you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. I appreciate the service you provide us
by being on here
like this. I kind of screwed up here, and I'm hoping you can point me in the right direction.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
He's in Greece, face north.
I was running AdAware 5.7.
Yeah.
And everything was working fine. You know, I would see stuff come up occasionally, and I'd delete it, no problem. I went to 6, and it showed everything was clear, and then the other night I went in, and all of a sudden I saw this new.net stuff in there.
Yeah, newsnet.
Yeah, and it said it was a data miner.
Right.
So I wasn't as familiar with 6 as 5.7, and besides that, I had never had a problem. So instead of just quarantining it, I removed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then my computer completely got hosed up. And a number of things happened. I ran that checker, and my user file was corrupted, so I straightened that out, and it looks like there isn't a problem with that now. But I can't even ping my router, and it's like I can't get out at all.
Okay, here's a couple things, Tom. One, you might want to go into the msconfig and make sure that NewsNet also got eliminated there.
What I did is I turned around and went to their website.
Yep.
I thought I had cleaned everything out. I went to their website, got their remove program.
Yep.
And put that in there, but you think there could still be something in there somewhere?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would because NewsNet also puts itself in the startup.
Okay.
There's NewsNet, there's SaveNow, and a number of those spyware programs that literally load themselves up. Even though they don't show off in the taskbar, they still load themselves up, and they're there. You've got to go in and uncheck them from the startup group. Now, the other thing as far as getting out, how comfortable are you with playing around in the registry?
Well, I can give it a shot. Why? What did you
well,
have in mind?
Well, if you can't get out, you've got to go into the registry, and you've got to go down to a folder called WinSock 2. And it's off of a local machine, I think it is. But you got to ferret your way on down. I mean, I just do it automatically. But you're looking for a folder called WinSock 2.
Mm-hmm.
If you delete that, shut your machine down, start in safe mode, or Mavic, before you restart, uninstall your TCP IP, and then shut the machine down, restart, reinstall the TCP IP. It will recreate the WinSock 2 folder, and you should be able to get out.
Now, do you think the machine's still acting a little strange? Do you think there could be anything else that's an issue? Like, could there be a virus that's caused? I mean, I had a virus check or a firewall. I thought I
was your virus program up to date?
Yeah.
And you ran it regularly?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes even that's not enough when a new virus comes out.
See, it all happened when I tried to pull this new .NET out, though. That's when all my trouble started.
I would first,
it must have been dug its way deep on down into your registry.
Yeah, I would first do a, like I say, look into the startup.
Yep.
You know, do the msconfig, do there. Do a search on your registry for NewsNet and see if it finds it in there and delete it.
Okay.
Before doing the other.
A couple more quick things. And
make it quick because we got to take a break.
Okay, if for some reason I can't get this working that way, should I just, you know, blank the thing out and reformat the hard drive and just...
Just blank it out and, yeah, wipe it and reinstall.
You could always try installing on top of itself.
The only problem is the software, I don't have, like,
actually
Windows 98. It's all built into an IBM recovery disk.
No.
Annoying.
But they're legal.
so you get to do it all over again.
You should call them and ask them if in fact they can send you a real disk.
Or check your cabs directory. The installers might be there.
Yeah, then he can't. Anyway, we've got to go. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
There's a ritual to eating lobster at Lobster Fest. Get some friends and family, then come as you are to Red Lobster. And start grabbing, dipping, dunking, chatting, cracking, crunching, conversing, oohing and aahing. Lobster Fest raises sharing to an art form. Because you're eating the most desired food on the planet, lobster. Come in and enjoy one of our amazing new lobster dishes, like delicious lobster pizza, mouth-watering lobster asparagus pasta, and more. Lobster Fest, now at Red Lobster.
Your health is important. So is the health of your Nissan. Right now, your participating Nissan dealer is offering a free checkup at our Car Care Clinic. A quick and comprehensive 100-point inspection of your Nissan. Visit your local Nissan dealer service department, where Nissan-trained technicians using genuine Nissan parts are equipped to optimize their performance, reliability, and resale value of your car. Call your Nissan dealer today. The road to automotive health is paved by Nissan. Genuine service in parts.
Don't look. Just listen.
95.1, The Nerve Rocks.
Wake up! Grab Russia, put a little makeup!
Austin never
if it rocks, it's on 95.1, The Nerve.
And hello!
Howard Stern in the morning. Long sets of Nerve Rock all day.
That was good. Let's do it again.
If it rocks, it's 95.1, The Nerve Rocks.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show, is brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180.
the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Where? Oh, no, he's right here. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
We'll be back to the phones in just a couple of minutes, but before we do, I want to talk about the Sound Bites calendar.
Did you get Bruce straightened out?
Did I get Bruce straightened out?
Yeah. Remember Bruce was training.
No, I don't, it works for me and it doesn't work for him. It's gotta be something he's doing. I don't know anyway.
OE?
Something weird in his computer.
Something weird in his computer, but we have to get together. I don't know if it's OE. I don't know if it's OE, but it's possible. I shouldn't think so, though. Anyway, on our Soundbites calendar, if you go to the main page, you'll find an announcement section. I have to redo the whole front page. It's getting boring now. But we have a front page at soundbites.org, Soundbites with a Y, and you can from there get to our calendar. On the calendar, there are a couple of important items you need to see. The Rochester Computer Society meeting, the Apple Cider meeting, the Apple Cider SIG are all, of course, important. But what's really important on the 25th of this month, that's the 25th of this month, that's a Tuesday, the Soho show will be out there. Soho stands for Small Office Home Office, and it's at the Rochester Riverside Convention Center. It will be from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and we will be there from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can see that there. You can click on it. It'll tell you when we're there. Also, there's a link there to take you to the Soho Show main website at SohoRochester.com so that you can get directions and see all the other stuff that they've got up there. I didn't see any real need to duplicate all of that when they had it all up there.
Right.
But we'll be there from the show is from 10 to 6. We'll be there from 11 to 2. That's Tuesday the 25th. The following Saturday, the 29th of March, Anno Domini 2003. The second Soundbites Roadshow, or as we like to think of it, Soundbites Roadshow Redux.
Redux?
Yeah, it's to duck again. Anyway, the Soundbites Roadshow and Computer Expo.
I don't think you pronounce the X.
I don't think so either. I believe it's correctly pronounced redo.
Redux.
Redo.
Redo. Is that like undo?
Redo, like we didn't do it right the first time, so we're having a redo. The Soundbites Roadshow, actually the first one was quite a success. We had
great
vendors there. We had the people who were there were phenomenal. We had fun. That's really all that counts. There wasn't enough food. We'll have to talk to Jeff about that this time. But this coming, then the 29th, starting at 10 a.m., the Soundbites Roadshow and Computer Expo will be at the RIT Inn and Conference Center. That's the old Marriott next to RIT on Jefferson.
Mm-hmm. Used to be a Ramada before that.
Yeah, and before that it was an empty field.
So it's not the Marriott down by Lehigh.
No,
it's right by RIT.
I got in a big fight with a student at RIT. Well, no, the Marriott, that's the one down on Lehigh. No, the one right by RIT.
Yeah, but it's not a Marriott anymore. That's why. You can join us. We'll have questions. We'll have answers. We'll have fun.
No, we might have questions.
We might have questions. You'll have to bring the answers this time. We'll have way cool stuff for you to see like we did the last time. Soundbites craziness will be live and in person. Hopefully, all of our great folks from the forums will come down.
Maybe have prizes and giveaways.
Maybe. You never know what we're going to have. But that'll
have to work on that. We got time.
The thing starts at 10 a.m. Frankly, I probably won't get there much before 11 the way my life works. But we'll be there, and you should be there, too. And now back to the phones. Justin from Rochester. Welcome, Justin. What's your question?
Hey, thanks for the airtime.
Sure.
I need to get your blessing on something. I just want to make sure I didn't break my cousin's computer. I kind of want to bet, actually. If you surf the web, this is kind of a big deal, but maybe not for you guys at your caliber and level. For video cards, he's kind of got an older Roach machine, so I gutted out the system board. I took all the cards out. He's got four PCI slots. I freed up all the IRQs, and what I did, first of all, I left the integrated card alone. I did not disable it, and then I installed the NVIDIA card, did the drivers, the whole nine, and then, as you know, you know, becomes an aggressive host, it wants to run primary, so it takes the multi-monitor support system away from the computer. Mm-hmm. So to counteract that, I removed the EMM386 executable line in the system editor,
mm-hmm.
so to free up the upper-level memory or whatever.
Right.
And then...
OS have you got on there for?
I'm sorry?
What OS do you have on there for?
98-second edition.
Okay.
And then I installed, believe it or not, an ATI Radeon card, and I was able to get the Radeon and the NVIDIA card to run together.
Right.
And basically, you have now four monitors in the settings display.
Sure.
And I just wanted to make sure that that was a legal move. And
oh, yeah, no I've got one.
You can add as many cards as you can fit in.
I've got one client that literally has, sort of like an oblong L, and he's got eight monitors because he's a day trader.
Okay.
And the one computer, and he's got these eight monitors running off of two video cards, and he literally clicks from one to the other. It's amazing to watch this guy sit there. He gets like in a zone, and he's sitting there watching these monitors, and the eyes scan, and he's moving it. Like,
for the average individual, four monitors is, what's the word I'm thinking? Overkill! But for,
three,
you can certainly have them.
Three makes really great flight sim games.
So yes.
You have your forward view and then left and right views.
So exactly. A friend of mine,
and a fourth one for the rear view, yeah.
A friend of mine has three, has a triple head video card. He's going to put three monitors up just to play flight sim.
I talked to at a trade show once. They had some A-10 pilots doing the A-10 Warthog game.
Mm-hmm.
He said the game view they had set, it had a real ejection seat for the computer to play with.
Yeah.
So the three monitors around this seat, he said that the game had a better visibility than the real plane does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But to answer your question, no, Justin, that'll work fine.
Can you give me a yes or no, and then I'll go?
Yes.
For RAM, if you're running, if the machine came with PC100, can you upgrade that at all, or do you have to stick with PC100?
It depends on the motherboard, whether the motherboard will take PC133.
And if so, there's either a switch or a jumper.
Or even then, the 133 will downstep to 100.
Right.
So you're buying more than you need, but it will probably work.
And more than 256 is overkill for it anyways.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you want to go up to XP if you're going to do the kind of stuff you really want to do. We're going to take a break back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Mean It Francesco on the universe's greatest computer show, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
Introducing the Epson Stylus CX5200. It prints. It scans, and it copies. But wait, it's also the only all-in-one with DuraBright inks for brilliance that lasts up to 80 years. All this for just this, around $199.
Hey, hon. How's
it going? It looks like this duct tape's not holding
Steven,
for some reason.
There's a lake in my basement.
All right, let's not overreact, Karen.
Overreact? There's ducks swimming down here.
Technically mallards.
And
but,
is that?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, cool. Look at that.
Need some plumbing help? Then come into Ace. We've seen it all and we know how to fix it. It's why people have been counting on us for products and advice for more than 75 years. Ace, the helpful place.
Don't miss Bill Phillips' Body for Life Success Journal, the must-have companion to his 3 million copy bestseller, Body for Life. The Body for Life Success Journal is a practical guide that takes you day by day through the program. It helps you set and achieve your goals, gives you tips on working out and eating right, and will help you change your life. Bill Phillips' Body for Life Success Journal. Record your success story, new from HarperCollins, and pick up Body for Life, also available from Harper Audio and in Spanish from Ryo.
Do you feel like your debt problems are beyond help? Now there's a nonprofit organization that can help you significantly reduce your monthly payments. It's called Ameridebt. Ameridebt can help reduce or even eliminate your interest rates. And they'll consolidate your bills into one lower monthly payment. If you have more than $2,000 in debt, call Ameridebt now for a free debt consultation. Not available in all states. Call 1-800-368-1020. That's 1-800-368-1020.
Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Yes, we are back with not only Nick Francesco, but also
Dave Enright,
Steve Ray,
and Rob Linton.
All of us here on Soundbite. And it's extreme computing here, ladies and gentlemen. Even as we speak, I'm once again trying to install this.
You're
going to
get brave, aren't you?
Never heard of it.
It's got a name.
Dumb.
It's got a name, but on the web, you just didn't go up and get the updated
low-life piece of junk software.
Now, wait a minute. Did it not ask you, this is not the working with XP.
Do you want to download
the drivers?
You said no. No, it didn't say download the drivers. It said, do you want to install it anyway?
And then did you go get the drivers?
No, I didn't.
Let's go to a caller.
All right, we'll go to Jim from Rockford.
What are our two most important? Have you updated your antivirus? Have you downloaded the latest driver?
Okay, what's your point exactly?
So we don't follow our own rules.
Yeah, we have a caller now.
Let's talk to Jim
and Rochester.
Jim, bring a moment of sanity to our otherwise completely messed up lives here, would you please?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Yes, yes, and yes. I do have the latest and greatest, and you cannot laugh at me because I am the proud owner of XP Home. With
ooh.
A few bugs. Uh-oh.
No, that's good.
That's good.
That's the good
okay.
Ooh.
I also have the latest and greatest Norton Antivirus 2003 with the new version sticker, and they do not want to talk to one another, even with the live update.
Ooh. He's in crackers. Help the man. While I try to set up his software.
Okay. So you... Now, with the XP, did you also put, let's get a little background here. One, you on Roadrunner, DSL?
Phone line,
okay.
I have downloaded everything. It took all night, but everything loaded successfully.
Okay.
All the latest and greatest updates.
And when you installed this Norton, did it also install the firewall?
The Norton was previously on the computer.
And did you have a firewall?
Yes, I did.
You can probably take it off. Because the only reason I say that, because you're on dial-up,
okay.
The odds of you getting hit, the whole thing of a firewall is because with a firewall, that's for folks that are with, say, DSL or Roadrunner, because you're on all the time. The minute the computer is on, you're connected to the Internet, so you're exposed. But you're only dialing up, so the chances of them getting into your machine are you've got better chances of getting hit by lightning, most likely. So you can probably take the firewall off.
Okay.
Disable that.
Plus, there's a firewall built into XP anyway.
Yeah, which you could use if you really needed it. But that's turned off by default. So
it says the code I got was update not designed for Windows NT 2000.
And now, is this 2002 or 2003?
The Norton antivirus is 2003, new version.
And you went up to their site to see if there were any updates?
Yep, I did the live update.
Because, I mean, I've got a number of clients that are running 2003, no problem on XP machines. It works fantastic. I've done a number of, you know, updates or fresh installs.
And you cannot manually download any Norton updates for 2002 or 2003. You have to use live updates.
You might want to try doing an uninstall.
Uninstall it again?
Uninstall it and reinstall it.
Okay.
And give that a shot.
Okay, then.
Because otherwise, you know, like I say, matter of fact, I just did three machines just this week. Where we wiped, put XP home on them, two homes and one professional, and put Office 2000 or Norton 2003 on it, and boom, it went up there and says, oh, you need updates, and we connected to the web and got all the updates, too.
That's one of the problems with using dial-up is that you're going to be installing a brand new program out of the box, but how long has it been sitting in the box? So it may have to download many megabytes of data.
Oh, I did, about 10 hours worth.
Yeah, and if there's a hiccup anywhere along the line where it has to, like, hang up and dial again.
No, it didn't.
So you actually
did it a clean sweep.
You made it 10 hours straight without losing the connection?
Yep.
That's got to be a record.
That's frightening, actually.
Yeah, really.
I'm very impressed now.
I kept waking up, and it was still a go.
Super.
The second thing, I do have the install software for my scanner, and I downloaded the correct driver from Epson, but it will not recognize that it's there, and I cannot install that.
You get the updated drivers for XP?
Is it parallel or USB or SCSI, the scanner?
I believe it's parallel.
And did you get the XP drivers?
Right from the Epson site, yes.
Yeah, but also for the software. Because here's what. Now, it's an HP scanner.
Epson.
Or Epson?
Epson.
Well, if they're anything like HP, what you had to do with them was install the software first.
There's two pieces to the software. There's the actual scanner driver, usually called Twain, and then there's the program that you scan with. And both of them need to be updated properly.
But normally you had to install the software before hooking up the hardware.
Especially on USB, because USB doesn't auto-detect. If it's a parallel scanner, then it won't see it until you load the driver.
The only problem is just like Windows 2000 and XP, Microsoft, oh, by the way, forgot to include support for scanners. I mean, they've got support in there for video cards, CD-ROMs, you know, all these other peripherals. But, hello, scanners have been out longer than CD-ROM drives, and they still forget to put the support in there for them.
Right, they did my printer with no problem.
Yeah, printers, I mean, like you say, USB ports, zip drives, JASs. I mean, all these things, hello, scanners were around before those other devices. And they still forget to put any support whatsoever in there for scanners.
How about support for disk detectors? That's my last problem.
Disk detector? What type of disk detector?
I guess when it's in your drive, the computer registers that it's there.
You mean a floppy disk?
The
hard drive?
CD.
CD? It should just automatically find it.
Yeah, the CD autoplay?
Yeah, because that just uses a generic, what they call it, a TAPI drive.
Does the computer see there's a CD drive but doesn't see there's a CD, or it
Correct.
Won't automatically run the CD?
It won't automatically run it.
That's a preference called CD autoplay.
Yeah.
And in many cases, it's desirable to leave that turned off because viruses can come on CDs, and when it autoplays, it automatically installs.
Okay.
But that's usually if you do a properties on your CD player, you can find that autoplay option.
Okay. Well, I'll give it some more work then.
All right. Okie doke.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's my button, Dave.
That's his button, and I've completely lost any sound I had in my ear.
So that's why every time Dave coughs, my mic goes off.
Yeah, well, I'm pushing
pushing the cough button, and it won't work.
Well, it's the one in front of me.
Well, see, that's
so maybe that one over there is yours.
How's this?
Who went off there?
That's me.
No, that was me.
No, you? I went off.
No, so Dave doesn't have a button.
Dave doesn't have a button, and he's the one coughing. So we're going to take a break right now while we stifle Dave. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Nick Francesco, and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
For all your computer needs, call Green Shield Computer Services toll-free at 1-800-544-9580. Located in Rochester at 1370 Hudson Avenue, just south of Route 104, Green Shield is a full-service computer firm that's been helping individuals and businesses since 1984. They'll build, install, maintain, and network both your home and work computers. Green Shield is open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 till 4. So, yeah, call them right now. That's right now at 1-800-544-9580. Green Shield can also provide your website development, hosting, email, and domain name registration. And Green Shield is an approved Corral Business Education, Government, and Legal Partner. Call them right now, toll free at 1-800-544-9580. That's 1-800-544-9580. Or you can send them an email to computers@greenshield.net. Remember the name, Green Shield Computer Services, part of the Green Shield Group, established in 1967.
Soundbites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
This portion of Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet Service, call 262-2485.
These guys know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. And this is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Well, that was quick, wasn't it?
Yeah, really.
I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And Steve Ray's gone off to take his little two-minute break, not knowing that we're already back.
Well, he had to get another soda.
Lock the door. Okay. I think that would be best right now.
Have him pound on the window?
Put a chair up under it, and okay. We'll just keep him out now for the rest of the show.
And do an
while we say rude things about Steve Jobs.
Or do erase his hard drive on his Mac.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Now that he's gone, let me tell you Let me tell you what we really all think about the Mac. It's, oh, hiya, Steve. Welcome back.
Geez, that was a short commercial.
We're back, and we're talking to Phil from Pittsburgh. Welcome, Phil. What's your question?
A good show, guys.
Thank you.
I got a Dell laptop that I just sent back to my company for an upgrade from Windows 98 to XP Professional.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed the dial-in program from PAL to Access Manager. Got it back, and I can't connect through Access Manager at home. When I travel, it works fine in the phone lines in the hotel. So it must be something with my phone line here. I can't connect through AOL maybe 7 out of 10 times. Is there anything I can do to change the phone lines or clear them up?
Yeah, call waiting?
No, we don't have call. Not on my business line, no.
Now, what you're having trouble with is actually dialing up and connecting the first time.
It dials. It's an Access Manager dials, but it never connects. You hear that, you know, obscene noise, and then it never connects.
Okay. Couple of things can cause that. One is a low-strength signal. How many phones do you have on your phone line?
The business office, there's three. I have a home office work out of my basement. There's a two phone lines and one fax line.
Yeah, it's possible that you have too many high-load devices on your phone line.
Have you tried switching it to another phone line?
Yes, I tried all three phone lines. I came up into the house and tried the house phone line. It didn't work there either.
Okay. Then in that case, you might want to try putting it on a line that has nothing else on it.
No other telephones, no fax machine, no answering machine, nothing.
Okay, I tried the fax line. When I unplugged the fax machine and tried that, and it still didn't work.
Okay. If that is the case, then it is extremely possible that the problem is the modem itself.
Yeah, but no, you go to the hotel.
Not having enough power in a low not all phone lines are created equal.
Understood.
You may have some noise on your line. You may have a fairly low quality line. You may have a low signal strength.
And if you have five lines in your house, if you split between home and business, you're probably on a slick.
Right.
Yeah, got four lines total, yeah.
Yeah.
And that still comes over the one, literally, you can, off of one cable that they run, you can get three phone lines.
Is this something I can call Frontier and they maybe...
You might want to have them call and tell them... Here, tell them that you're getting a lot of static and noise on the computer. Lines.
Don't mention the computer, or they'll offer to sell you a data grade phone line for some obscene amount of money.
You just tell them that there's a lot of static and noise.
Okay. Appreciate your help, guys.
Okay. Sure.
Enjoy the show. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye bye.
Our next caller, Brian from Fairport. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Hey guys, good show.
Thank you.
I installed a new burner in my friend's XP machine. It came with Nero. And I it's the most unfriendly software I've ever seen. Can I use AdaptTech instead?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Maybe. If you buy the Raxio EasyCD Creator Deluxe or Platinum, whatever their high level is,
okay. It
may work with that brand CD drive.
But if not, you're out the money.
Well, you can go to Raxio's website, and they have a supported drive table where it will tell you if the specific drive you have is supported by EasyCreator.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, in Nero, it doesn't even tell you, it doesn't, when you eject the disk that isn't fully filled, it doesn't ask you whether you want to close it or leave it open. And then when you want to re-look at the disk, you have to open Nero first. It doesn't just, you know what I mean? It doesn't, it doesn't even know it's there.
What person?
Well, there's two pieces of Nero. The Nero software is the mastering piece. That you open up this big window and fill it with the files you want, and it does a burn.
Right.
The second piece, it sounds like you're talking about, is the in-CD, which allows you to do desktop drag-and-drop burning.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's not Nero itself. It's other program, in-CD.
Yeah, you've got to install the in-CD portion of the software.
And you may need an update for it as well.
Okay, gotcha. One other quick question. When we tried to hook up the audio to his motherboard, he's got two slots down there. Of course, the other one's going from his DVD player, but the other one has a plastic like a ring around it, and it won't fit. Can I cut that out? I know how you're cutting.
For what though?
There's a little plastic border around the four pins for an audio from the CD to the motherboard, and it won't fit. It's like a 1/16 of an inch. It's like a wall around these pins that are blocking it.
Oh, so yeah, it can hold like a quick release clip.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can take that off.
Okay.
Yeah, won't hurt anything. That's just designed for those quick release clips. Of course, you know, there's so many different designs and configurations nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that won't hurt it.
Okay.
Just be careful.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen some folks go after and they wind up cutting off the leads and everything else, or a couple other diode or something else off the board.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Matter of fact, what I would recommend is if you're going to do any clipping around there, put some masking tape down so you don't scratch any of the bus working that around there. And leave it plugged in but turned off so you don't short anything out. Meanwhile, let's go to Joe in Rochester. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, guys. I enjoy your program, although you guys are pretty smart for me, so I hope you'll bear with me.
Our pleasure, sure. Sir.
Our pleasure.
In Outlook or Express, when I want to get a, sometimes I'll either get an email or even from some other program like a stock information, and I want to file downloaded, the information is coming through.
Yeah.
All of a sudden that little square, you know, 3x5 or whatever, 3x4, starts flashing up there when it's filed downloading, and it freezes up the system. So in other words, you can't download the information that's coming in. And now, it just locks up.
Now, you've got antivirus software on there?
Yeah, and I knew Norton updated and defragment and everything.
And have you run Adaware?
I didn't do Adaware.
You see, because if you go to our website, soundbites.org, down on the right-hand side, you'll see, I heard this website on your show. If you go there, click on that, it'll open up another window. On the right-hand side is an alphabetical listing of all the stuff that we recommended. Right up near the top, you're lucky, because it's quite a long and extensive list, is a program called Adaware. It will take you to LavaSoft, where you can then download Adaware 6.0. I would highly recommend it, because I have seen on machines that have been on the Internet just for a couple days with a couple hundred pieces of spyware. Spyware can literally mess up, slow down, and interrupt what you're doing on the Internet. So I would
that could be related. Now, this is on an email, but I've also gone, I think I said before, that if I wanted to download some stock information.
Here's the other thing that I was going to say to
you. Does the download open into a browser to download it, or is it actually attached to the email message?
Well, it's attached. I'm assuming that it's attached to the message.
Then the other thing I would recommend to do is if you're using Internet Explorer, is go into the Tools, Internet Options, clear out the cache and the cookies, and also check to see what your setting is on attachment. Sometimes there is settings, even within Norton, to not allow attachments to be downloaded.
Yeah, which version of Outlook Express is it?
I think it's 6.0.
Yeah, there's a security feature that Microsoft threw into IE6 and OE6 to prevent attachments from coming in, because that's where
a
lot of viruses go.
Except if they're Microsoft documents.
Right, Microsoft Word files will come through, and that's one of the biggest source of viruses. So also on our frequently asked question list is a link to Microsoft's knowledge base on how to remove this attachment bypass thingy
feature
so that it will let you get attachments.
Okay.
One quick, something comes up here that it says no ISDN device were found. Please install an ISDN device and run configuration. Then you click on OK. And the only thing I looked up in the book, ISDN is a modem.
Well, Integrated Services modem. Digital Network. It's a digital telephone line, and somehow your computer thinks it has one.
Yeah.
You might want to check through your
net. I checked through. Of course, I don't have it because I got Time Warner, so I got the
cable.
Cable net, internet, okay. So I don't have no dial, you know, I have no phone dial in there, and I checked through the whole system, and it doesn't recognize it, so I don't have a.
You might want to check in your network properties to see if somehow an ISDN adapter has gotten attached.
Yeah. Go into the settings there and look.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Every day.
You too. Our next caller, Chris from Holly. Welcome, Chris. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
I'm running Windows ME, and I'm trying to get
Go ahead.
I'm trying to get into safe mode. I've tried hitting F8 and F1 when Windows are coming up, but I get an error message saying keyboard failure.
You're hitting the key too soon.
Yeah.
If you hit the keys too soon, you get a keyboard error. If you hit it too late, it doesn't go into safe mode. You've got about a two-second window of opportunity.
Or one thing you can do is when you turn it on, hold down the control key, Chris.
Say that again?
Hold down the control key when you turn it on.
Turn the computer on?
Turn the computer on, hold down the control key, and that will get you into the menu where you can select safe mode.
Oh, all right.
And since the control key is it's what's called a modifier key. It's not a real key.
Yeah.
You won't get that keyboard error. What happens is it sees you hitting the key so much, it doesn't know what to do with those keys.
It could be stuck or
so it
who
gives
knows
you the
what.
Keyboard error. Yeah, but the
control
key
will get you to that menu where then you can go into safe mode.
What? So as soon as I turn the computer on?
You got it. Hold that control key down and you'll get there.
You can usually wait until after the memory counts up.
All right. Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
All righty. You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next caller, how is that? Mush?
It is.
Mush from Lima. Is it Lima Bean Mush? Is that what we're talking about here?
If you so desire.
I've had that.
Well, the Alaskan Iditarod is this going on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Going. Mush.
Right.
Mush.
That kind of mush.
My parents were missionaries in Alaska, and I was born on a dog sled, you know.
I understand that.
How can we help you?
First-time listener. And I'm kind of novice with hardware. I got one real quick question as far as the firewall and is Norton the best, or what would you recommend?
Well,
I had McAfee, and we let it run out. We didn't do any of the updates with it, and so now I'm wondering whether I should stick with that. It came with the computer when
you
we bought
on Roadrunner DSL or what?
Roadrunner, unfortunately.
No, it's nothing wrong with that.
I was used to AOL cable, and I like that, but
AOL cable is Roadrunner.
Now, how many?
It's a little different, but my wife's work couldn't get through to it, so she couldn't work at home with it, so we had to switch over to Roadrunner.
How many computers are in the house?
Just the one.
Just one?
And a laptop, but they're not connected.
Well, firewalls, then you can either go with, like, Zone Alarm, which is free.
Okay.
You can get that off of our website if you go to soundbites.org.
All right.
Yes, Norton is good. McAfee is good. They're all, you know, but again, they're software packages doing what a piece of hardware. If I had my preference, I'd rather put up literally a piece of hardware like a router hub. That's, you know, this way something else doesn't have to run on my system taking up resources.
Yeah.
You know, and this way you also get the added feature that if I want to add other computers in that to it, I can too.
The big problem with firewalls is it's very easy to set them so secure that you can't get out in addition
I had that problem. I couldn't buy anything. I kept saying it wouldn't let me out or whatever, so it was a real pain in the butt. But I mean, as far as antivirus type stuff, same thing?
Yep.
With that?
Yep.
Okay, well, the main question, and the guy a couple of calls earlier touched on it, when I got the new computer. We had a G85 Hewlett Packard. Is it the 4?
The all-in-one. Yeah, the flatbed one. That was a nice one when it came out.
So, and the problem, I mean, I used to be able to do editable text. You know, it would scan in and I could work it on the old computer. But when I put the new computer on, looks like Microsoft overwrote all that. And all I can do now is do photo type stuff. I can't edit it.
You need to load the OCR software, the optical character recognition. When you scan something, the only thing it scans is a picture. The OCR software takes that picture of a text page and looks at it and turns it into editable text.
That you can then use in your word processor.
And that would have...
And that's in there. Where would I...
It should have come with the HP on the HP disk.
Yep.
Xerox...
Yeah, cause I always try to download, you know, reinstall it, but every time it comes back up, you know, cut off by the Microsoft or overrun by the Microsoft.
If it's an older version, you might have to upgrade. OmniPage and TextBridge are the two most common OCR programs. You might have to upgrade directly from them if HP doesn't have an upgrade on their website for it.
Yeah. All right, good enough.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. We have time for a quick question here, I think, from Ed from Rochester. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
Hi. Well, the quick question is, every once in a while, if I have a couple of windows open but not running, and all of a sudden the screen will go goofy. I mean, the startup menu pops open and shuts off. All the different desktop items appear to be flashing and moving around, and my mouse is inoperable. And the only way I can fix it is to, you know, just do a shutdown and a restart.
What version of Windows?
98 SE on a 400 megahertz, 256 hard drive.
Have you gone up and gotten all the updates off of Internet Update?
Yes.
So you're running all the updates. You've run typically the adware and your antivirus software?
I'm running McAfee. There's another question on McAfee. Should that automatically start? Is there a place I can click to get it to automatically start when I start the computer?
It should automatically start.
It's not. I have to go in and click run.
Have you checked the data on the virus files?
The what?
How current are you with your DAT files?
They're supposed to be updated automatically.
No.
Right, you're supposed to be.
That's supposed
to be.
You got to verify it. I tell folks at least once a week, make sure towards the end of the week that it's got that your DAT files are maybe a day, 1 or 2 days old on Thursday or Friday. If not, you could very likely have what they call the CLES virus. What I would recommend is go to our website, go to the part where it says, I heard this website on your show, and download Stinger. Stinger is a program you can run, and it will get rid of the CLES virus. That's all we got time for, folks.
We want to thank everybody. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, who kept us on the straight and narrow, and while I was desperately trying to get this stinking camera to work. We'll be back next Saturday at 12:20 p.m. with Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
We know about it before it's big news. We tell you about it before it happens. You're given a heads up and able to form an opinion before you have to. You are always the first on your block to know anything and everything. If we don't talk about it on this program, trust me, you don't need to know about it.
Rush 2 till 5. Rush on Wham.